Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to a very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. This is a reoccurring series we call Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors. I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson in here today in the co-host seat alongside Bonnie Buell Russick. Welcome once again, Bonnie.
Hi, Ryan. How's it going?
Fantastic. Here we are again, another episode, Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors, where we bring in some of Atlanta's best and brightest and most knowledgeable to educate our listeners about certain topics that they should be concerned about. And today's topic is Social Security. And
yeah,
should you be concerned about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how to plan for that. So we look forward to talking to our guest here today about that. And who are our guests?
Well, today we are joined by Faye Sykes and Lori Attaway. And I'm going to let you guys do a little bit of intro on yourselves. And then we're going to dive right into why we should care about Social Security. Take it away, Faye.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Faye Sykes, and I'm a retirement planning specialist with Social Security Benefit Planners. I have actually been a financial planner for about 11 years and really started digging into Social Security planning about 3 years ago and have really learned a lot that hopefully that you guys will find beneficial today.
Very good. Very good. And joining you is?
Good afternoon. This is Lori Attaway. I'm a partner in a CPA firm in Atlanta, Attaway Linville, and I've been a CPA probably 25 years, and our firm really caters to business owners, and then the piece of a business owner is also Social Security, and how do I need to plan for what Social Security is coming down the pike, and how do I take advantage of the opportunities that are out there?
And there are lots of opportunities, no matter what your age may be or what your background may be. So let's kind of just big picture it for our listeners. Social Security, how does it work and what does it mean to someone out there?
Well, that is a great question. There's over 2,700 regulations out there. And if you go online, it is overwhelming. It's daunting. And the Social Security Administration is very helpful. But since it's a government entity, they can answer questions, but they cannot give you advice.
Okay.
So essentially the way that Social Security works is that you have to work a certain amount of years to get these credit hours. So every year you can earn up to 4 credits, and each credit you have to earn is $1,220. So it's not very much to get vested into the system. And essentially with 10 years of experience of working, you are vested into the Social Security system. What they do is they look at the last 35 years of your work history, and they come up with what they call the PIA, or primary insurance amount. So if you made $30,000 a year, you're going to pay less in than maybe somebody that made $200,000 a year. And those things are kind of the first factor of how Social Security is determined for the individual. Number two is, at what age do you take it? So everybody has a slightly different full retirement age, and it will stagger depending on your birth year. So like anybody that's born 1960 or later, 67 is their full retirement age. And if you were born 1941 or below, it's like 65. So anyway, that will differ for everybody. So depending on what your primary insurance amount is and at what age you take it, will factor in the amount that you get. And there's little things like if you take it early at 62, people lock it in at a 25 to 30% permanent reduction in their benefits for the rest of their lives, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is every year you delay, it's an 8% increase between age 62 and age 70. So these are little things that can really add up, but about, I've read between 47, 48% of all Americans, male and female, elect to take Social Security at age 62, thereby locking in that 25 to 30% permanent reduction.
Yeah. Do you think they do that because they need the money?
I think it's because they don't understand.
So they just want to get it while they can, and they don't understand that they get penalized if they take it early, right?
Absolutely. For the average, let's just say lower income earning couples, you know, we've been able to, by doing Social Security strategy sessions, find them an extra $8,000 to $15,000 a year.
That's a big difference.
Wow.
Yes. Higher earners, about 15 to 30. It can even be higher than that. But, you know, if you go from 52 to 75,000 a year just in Social Security, it takes a huge easing off of your other assets or other savings that you have to muster up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Also, what happens when you take your Social Security at 62, if you earn over a certain amount, don't you you have to pay it back. Hmm. You actually have to pay back the Social Security benefits because you earn too much over wages.
Oh.
And so you've taken that discount, as Faye just talked about, for all those years, and you get to pay it back. That's not mathematically the right way to go. We want to go forward, not backwards.
Yes. Well, yeah, Lori is correct. If you elect to take it at 62 up until your full retirement age, if you make over $15,720 a year, basically every dollar over that, $2 over that, they can take $1 away. So essentially, your $2,000 a month benefit could go down to $1,000. And you get taxed on it on top of that.
Wow. So, and realistically, if you're working, most people past the age of 62 and they're taking their Social Security, they're likely going to make more than $16,000 a year,
yes.
You know, even if it's just part-time or something like that, particularly those that were in a higher income level, I would imagine.
Right. We find this, it happens with seasonal employees, just like you're talking about. Maybe someone who works for the school system 9 months a year, or possibly works retail, you know, October to January kind of thing. Because if they're really working, $16,000 can add up quickly.
Certainly.
Well, I will put one note in, is that that benefit gets reduced, but it does give you a higher amount later on. So it doesn't completely go away, but later on, they kind of catch you up.
Mm-hmm.
But still, people think, oh, I'm going to get $1,500, and all of a sudden they're getting $750, and up to 85% of that can be taxed.
Wow. And that's particularly right. If you budgeted assuming that you're going to have the $1,500, you know, for a mortgage or whatever your bills might be, I could imagine that would be a really hard hit.
Absolutely.
So one of the questions that we were going to talk about is, how do you know when you should take it? You know, you were talking about how it's available at 62, but it sounds like in many cases, that's really doesn't make the most sense. If you can, should you wait as long as you possibly can, or is there some sort of strategy that you should keep in mind?
Well, in general, when I've done a lot of the planning over the last few years, it really depends on actually several factors. One being health. I've had a couple that came in that, you know, at age 62, they, you know, weren't in the best of health, had a lot of medical issues, weren't at their ideal weight. One had had breast cancer and a pacemaker in. The other one had had prostate cancer. At that point, we just said, go ahead and elect at 62. Because chances are the break-even point is 80 and a half. Mm. So with partners, at least if one hits 80 and a half, then it makes sense to delay. But if there's not longevity in a family, current health conditions, or a financial need, then they might need to elect at that different time.
Explain that 80 and a half break-even point.
So basically with a couple, and you know, there's different situations with single and divorced and widowed, but with married couples, actuarially, and you know, we have special software that calculates this out, but realistically, at least if one lives to 80 and a half, the higher earner of the two should delay as long as humanly possible, because at death, let's say one spouse does not, you know, there's one spouse that survives, they only get the higher of the two benefits.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense to postpone it. And as a couple, it may in some cases make sense for one person to take it kind of at 62 and the other to wait as long as possible, so you can kind of spread out your income over the rest of your life.
Potentially. What I've found is that every single person's situation is completely different. And there's other things that come in, which Lori can maybe, you know, elaborate a little bit more on. But if somebody has a pension and they did not participate in Social Security during certain years, there's like an offset. There's all the tax situations. You know, if it's a married couple making over $44,000 a year of earned income, and there's a big differential. It's W-2 and K-1 income. If you have passive income from like rental properties, that doesn't count.
Correct. Earned income actually is W-2 income and 1099 income. K-1 income could be passive or active, depending on, once again, what the entity is. But Faye is right. If you have a couple that's both about the same age, then they're both going to hit the targets at about the same time. But if you have a husband and a wife that are maybe 10 years apart, there's a lot of opportunity, especially if maybe the higher earner is older and can continue. Too much information. My parents are in this situation. My father is 13 years older than my stepmother and still working with a nice job, but he is over 70 and a half. So he gets his full amount. We deferred it as long as possible. And then he has his minimum required distribution and all the stuff that goes in on his tax return. But yet they determined that my stepmother would go ahead and pull hers early. Because once again, you can choose. She'll get the larger of the two should one of them predecease. That information came directly from Faye Sykes, just so you know.
Yeah, so that's what brings up a question. When do you know you need to kind of lean on an expert like Faye and what you can maximize your benefits? When is the right time to call?
Honestly, it depends. But because it really depends on your situation, it depends on what other assets you have, what other pensions are coming down the pike. Are you going to continue to work? Does one, just like Faye said, does one spouse maybe have a deteriorating health or maybe not as strong as the other? Is there a major age difference? But once again, we also need to consider it on a combined level if they're going to file a tax return combined, because we may end up at a higher tax bracket for the client, or excuse me, for the participant who pulled the Social Security early, because they'll be taxed at the higher bracket. So once again, it depends.
It depends.
But in general, around 62, 63, 64, you should really be chatting with someone like Faye to see, what do I want to do? What options are out there? What if, what if, what if? Just like a CPA, you talk to them every year. What if I do this? What if I buy this? What if I sell this? Just like your financial, Social Security. What if this? What if this? Because, you know, someone, if a spouse unexpectedly dies, oh my gosh, that's a huge what if. You know, of course you're talking to your CPA, but what about the Social Security benefits? And then what if one of them goes to assisted living or some other kind of, you know, health care benefits that could be available based on what's in their Social Security bucket? So it's, I'm sorry to be so vague, but it really depends. But you really need to kind of be aware at 62, 63, 64 to just, what if?
And I know, Faye, you do some planning actually even well before that. You reach that 62, 63 age and have some plans for people as, you know, early as, well, even before 50, but certainly like 50 to 70-ish kind of range. And then even for people that are younger than that, to kind of start thinking ahead, correct?
Absolutely. So, yeah, most of my clients come in for the retirement planning are in that 50 to 70-year range. But when you think of widowed or people that are disabled, that can happen in any time. And, you know, there's, with widows, there are all sorts of different rules and special pieces out there that can be really beneficial for the families. And a lot of people don't know, even like in a widowed situation, if you were the at-home parent and there's minor children and the children are under the age of 16, there's not only a kid's benefit, but there's also a parent benefit, which goes to age 16, and then there's a what they call the blackout period that then takes you all the way to retirement age. Mm. So a lot of people don't realize, and the thing is with Social Security, you have to ask. You know, you have to ask and say, hey, put your hand up. I want to apply for this. They're not just automatically going to give you these benefits.
So there may be people out there that, you know, basically could be getting a lot of these benefits and are just leaving them on the table.
I was one of those people.
Oh,
I'm a CPA, and I actually, wow, people are going to know way too much about me. my daughter is incredible, and she has an incredible father who is way older than I am. Actually, I'm joking. He's not, but he is actually at the age where he can collect Social Security. My daughter gets a benefit. Her father is not disabled. Her father is not in any way unable to earn other income, but he is eligible for Social Security. So he gets his benefit and she gets her benefit. Her benefit in no way interferes with his benefit. It doesn't reduce his benefit. It doesn't change his benefit. She gets a benefit, which is reported on her tax return and is reported at her tax rate.
How old is she?
She's 12.
Okay. I was expecting a little older, so she's still a minor child.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then what happened is because I was uninformed and unaware, we got a catch-up benefit because she was eligible from the time her father became eligible for Social Security.
So back pay.
So she got a lump sum payout.
Fantastic.
Which is reported under her Social Security number and reported on her tax return, and she pays taxes at her tax rate. And most 12-year-olds' tax rate is zero.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Most 12-year-olds' tax rate is 12.
Right.
And she will get it until she's 18. Or actually, she gets until she's still in school. In her case, she's be a little older than 18. And she gets that. And her father is alive and not disabled and won all these things.
So how, from your perspective, any idea of how many people are out there who could receive benefits who are not collecting?
I would bet you just by chatting with people, it's amazing. Just when you're talking to people, I mean, you just never know. Second marriages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have got to be. I mean, actually, we ran through our tax returns and we're looking at people who have a birthday at over a certain age, but dependents under a certain age, and went, bing, 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 Faye, you need to talk to these four people.
Wow.
You know, and that way, and see what benefits are out there for them.
Right. So call someone, no matter what your age is, or what, you know, you may be eligible for not only current benefits, but some back pay along the way. But you will only know that if you talk to an expert and get involved.
Absolutely.
Wow. That sounds like one heck of a college fund right there.
Actually, yes, it's been helpful.
I would imagine so.
It's just a mathematical equation and it's been positive.
I love that. Go a little bit more into, you mentioned people that are divorced.
Mm-hmm.
How would that impact what you can draw from Social Security?
Well, that is so let's say you were married and the rule is it's 10 years of marriage.
Okay.
So if you are married 10 years or longer and you get divorced, then you can potentially pull on your ex-spouse's benefit. And I'll tell on somebody a little bit. Husband had ex-wife number one, they were married over 10 years, got remarried, was married 11 years the second time, and then married to current wife. All, as long as, you know, the two prior women did not get remarried, both of them and his current wife could all pull a spousal benefit based on his benefit, and it doesn't affect his or his current wife. Now, if any of them get remarried, then they have to pull on their new spouse's benefit. So the way that it works is, so let's just say the higher bread, you know, we'll just say the husband was making, you know, his Social Security benefits $2,000 a month. And if her benefit is $1,500 a month, she will not qualify for any additional benefits because, you know, $1,000 or one half of his, her benefit of $1,500 is higher. Now, let's say that her benefit was $800 a month and the same, you know, his was $2,000. She would still get her $800 a month, but then she would get an additional $200 supplemental spousal benefit.
Simply because she was married to him for more than 10 years.
Correct. And so that's a really great thing. And, you know, in the case of, so let's just say you're at the ex-spouse, you know, you went through the divorce, you're married over 10 years. And I had a woman who literally every time she talks to me, her face lights up in glee. Married to this gentleman for over 30 years, nasty divorce. Well, now she just found out that he had passed away. Well, now she's eligible for his full benefit. So I had her call Social Security. Again, you have to ask. It's not automatic. She got about $6,000 a year bump up in her annual Social Security benefits. And she literally is like, he's rolling in his grave. And she's so she's so happy. But, but you know, there's little things like that. When the ex-spouse passes, it's deemed in Social Security eyes as that you are like a widow.
Even if you have been divorced for 10 years or more.
Exactly.
And have moved on, married somebody else, moved across the country, and no longer have communication with that person, you can still benefit from their death.
As long as you're not remarried.
As long as you're not remarried. And I bet there's people who know this to the T and are out there taking advantage of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The other little thing on the pulling on your ex-spouses is that you have to be divorced for 2 years. Okay. So you can't get divorced and then file 6 weeks later. You do have to have a 2-year wait period.
Okay. Hmm.
Do we know any of the reasoning behind some of these laws? Was this something that was drafted up in like the 40s when people, they encouraged people to get married and, you know, and they just never change it, you know, because they just keep making new laws, but they don't take any of the old ones away.
Well, actually, they did just take two that are going to go away at the end of April.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that in a minute. There are a couple little weird rules. Like, so if you get married to somebody, you have to wait 9 months before you're, and let's say that that person passes away. You had to be married 9 months to be eligible to pull on their Social Security benefit. So that rule came in effect. Think of, oh, there's my friend Bob who's mm-hmm. got terminal cancer, and people would get married just specifically to get that Social Security benefit.
Wow, yeah.
But there's a caveat. If you get married and let's say a week later they die in a car accident, that 9 month rule goes away.
I see.
So those 2,700 regulations, really, when it comes down to it, there's all these ifs, ands, and buts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've really, you know, I don't know every single one of them by heart, but I know enough to be dangerous.
I was going to say, Bonnie, you know what's great yeah. is Faye does know all this by heart, right? She hasn't had to look at her sheets once.
Yeah.
This is all by memory over here. And so we could quiz her on the whole Social Security code and she'd get an A for sure.
She's had all that special training that very few people have had, right?
Actually, last fall, I got my NSSA, National Social Security Advisor designation, which was really boot camp Social Security, and it was great. The instructor said basically I could teach the class, mm-hmm. you know, because they, you know, I really have learned it, but I just felt that having that designation would be just an added bonus and make sure that, you know, I did know things the way that they're supposed to be. But one last thing about the kids, you can get the kid benefit in divorce or widowed, disability, or retirement. And so there's so many kids that are not getting that,
mm-hmm.
and it's, I just want to make sure that that's really clear, that parents or grandparents, and I'm actually going to tell one really quick, great story. There's a lot of sadness, but I got to refer to a gentleman who's a grandpa. He had just gotten remarried, maybe 1 or 2 years, 2 years on Social Security. His daughter committed suicide, left him with a 5, 7, 9-year-old grandchildren, and the biological father is a drug addict, so completely out of the picture. The mother did not have a big work history, so her Social Security benefit was about $297 a month. And so he called me, new wife, who's 65-ish, did not sign up to raise a 5, 7, and 9-year-old. And he's like, do I get divorced? Do I put my grandkids in foster care? And, you know, the stress in his voice and all of that was horrific. So basically, there is, for parents and grandparents, if they're the primary guardians and go through some, you know, either adoptive or biological. Well, anyway, he got adopted the 3 grandkids, getting now to the tune of almost $44,000 a year, hired a full-time nanny so grandma, grandpa can still do their stuff. And, you know, but the full-time caregiver is taking care of the day-to-day. It's going to be over $550,000 worth of benefits.
Mm-hmm.
He called me and he's like, you saved my family.
Yeah, he saved his life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. But he never would have known unless he picked up that phone or was found himself in a position of uncertainty and not knowing where to turn.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that must be one of those reasons why you're so passionate about this job.
I am extremely passionate about it. It's, you know, the whole way that I got into this was I had a widow whose husband had elected at 62. And she was really desolate, you know, just not enough money to pay her bills. And when I really dug into it, this 25 to 30% permanent reduction, I'm like, people need to understand this. They need to be educated. Mm-hmm. They need to know that there's some different options out there.
On, and she's right, on that same scenario she was talking about with children, we had the same thing in our firm. Grandma and grandpa were taking care of grandchild, and she was younger. And then grandma and grandpa were now coming into the point where they could take Social Security, which meant granddaughter was going to get Social Security from grandma and grandpa. Now what's happened this year is grandma and grandpa have legally adopted granddaughter. So they now get the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing, this granddaughter actually got a decent amount from her deceased parent. But now that she's been adopted by the grandparents, her legal parents are both on Social Security, so she gets that also.
Wow. There's so many situations where you know, you may not even have any idea that there's something out there available to you. It does. Mm-hmm. I understand completely, Faye, while you're passionate about this business, because you really are. I can't imagine, you know, how wonderful you felt by being able to help the gentleman you were just talking about. And, you know, I mean, that would just make you want to go out and celebrate at the end of the day, for sure.
Yes.
Well, and I was going to say, there's like a couple other really weird kind of nuances. There's about 26 countries out there where we have reciprocal exchanges. So if you're from Canada or Germany or some of these countries and you're invested in their Social Security or vice versa, you can apply it to credits here in the U.S. or overseas and get into the Social Security systems. Mm-hmm. Special things that you have to do. Also, if you're a grand, you know, you're a parent that's retired, but you're dependent on your child and that child, that adult child passes away, you can actually get an 82.5% benefit of what your kid's benefit was. So let's say you had a 50-year-old son or daughter, that parent can actually pull a kid's benefit, but an adult kid's benefit based on their adult child's. So anyway, there's really weird things out there people would never know about.
Yeah.
Now, I understand too that there are some rules changing on May 1st and some actions that people may want to take before then so that they don't lose access to some of the funds that they deserve. Tell us a little bit about that.
There's two big ones. First of all, I'm going to say this does not apply to people that are widowed. So they still have some really special circumstances that they can do. But for regular married couples, there were two things. One was called file and suspend, and the other is file restricted. So in the past, I'll give you a little example. I had a gentleman out in Colorado whose retirement age, we filed and suspended his benefit at his full retirement age, and they're getting about a $2,000 a month benefit for his two children. Things like that, these unintended loopholes are going away. He would have to apply and actually be taking his benefit. So he applied and was suspending his to age 70, getting these 8% delayed, you know, increases. Now you have to apply and actually be receiving benefits for like the kids to get that retirement benefit. For married couples, these actually, we can still grandfather people in between now and the end of April. If you hit certain age requirements, and I'll go over that in 1 second. But a lot of people will lose out on about $50,000 to $60,000 of spousal benefits. So let's just say that Jack and Joan were both 66. Let's just put them at the same age and had, around the same Social Security amounts. But let's say Jack's was a little bit higher. He could file and suspend his to age 70. And in the eyes of Social Security, it was like he's filed. She could file a restricted application on herself. Therefore, they both are delaying their own to age 70. But then she would be able to apply for a half spousal benefit, you know, 66, 67, 70, you know, like these 3 or 4 years, which ended up being like around 50 grand for a lot of people. May 1st is gone. So the folks that can still apply now are, if somebody is their full retirement age or older right now, either receiving benefits or they can file and suspend, and the other spouse was at least the age of 62 of December 31st of 2015. And actually, I had a conversation on the way over here with a couple that I'm meeting with next week. Husband's 75, she's 62 already, but she's going to wait until her full retirement age in a couple years, and she'll still be able to do the file and suspend and do the spousal benefit. So I know it's really complicated, but we do a flat fee planning for folks and really go through step by step on how's their health and all of that. We love to bring Lori in and her firm on, you know, ensuring that they kind of have that tax strategy plan in place. Somebody has to be pulling a benefit for somebody else to kind of get this other benefit. Now, in the future, the way that it's going to work is, let's say that the husband, you know, files and he's getting his benefit and she wants to get that half spousal benefit. Well, it's going to be if hers is 800 and she could potentially get another 200, you're considered deemed as filing. There's no suspension. You just get what you get. The other thing that's going away is, and this was a great little thing that I used to do with single people, is we would file and suspend at their full retirement age, their benefit to age 70. Well, it was like a little free insurance plan. So in 2 years, if they got diagnosed with cancer, they could get a lump sum and then it would back them down those 2 years. May 1st, that's gone. So people that have already are in there, they're grandfathered in. But for us younger folks, we're doomed.
Yeah, right. And looking beyond, as we are in an election season here, and some political parties want to do away with Social Security, others want to continue it. You know, how can someone protect themselves long term, not even knowing what's going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if it's all going to be even here to help us?
Actually, I'll kick in on that. The reality is we can't control other people. All we can do is take the tools that are out there for us right now and figure out which benefits we are eligible for, which benefits we want to take advantage of now. Do we want to roll the dice and go a little farther? The reality is, and this is my personal opinion, and it's worth exactly what you paid for it, they are not going to be able to take Social Security away. That is a huge lobby and a huge group of people that we would just go bananas on. They're talking about things like if you earn over a certain point, which is like $160,000, you're not going to get Social Security. Wait a minute, just because I planned better, I'm not eligible for what everyone else is eligible for that I've also paid into, that would probably create a very large problem. There's no doubt, it's math. They've got more going out than is coming in. So there will be laws and tax changes that will either increase the amount going in, which is 99% of what will happen. More money will have to go in, and some adjustments on the backside coming out will have to happen. But I can't imagine going to my 86-year-old grandmother and go, "Hey, Granny, that $1,536 a month you get is gone."
Yeah.
Because while Social Security was always intended to be a tool, it was never intended to be the exclusive retirement of people. Unfortunately, some people have not planned, and that's what it's become. However, it's always been a tool. And in the 30s and 40s, when it was put out there, that's what these rules are. When they talk about widows and children, these are people who were widowed because of the war.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of these rules are still there. And they are rules that we work within. That's what the tax laws are. That's what the government laws are. They're not evil things. It's there for... we know the shortcuts, and do you want us to help you with some shortcuts that we know? I mean, you use it on your phone. That's what Google Maps is,
Yeah.
It's a shortcut.
Right.
How am I going to get here?
Right.
And it's the same thing. So, but once again, the Social Security, whether it's here in 5 years or whether it's different in 5 years, it's still a piece of everything you have, which includes your financial plan from FAY. It includes the taxes, what you grow on your tax return and what taxes you don't pay, because it's all about the cash flow that gives you the best life in your retirement days.
Well, I'm counting 100% on Social Security myself. I don't have a 401k. I'm not married. Don't have any kids. So I'm just going to collect from Uncle Sam when I get 67, hopefully.
Well, hopefully, by looking at you, it looks like we have some time for some other investments. And there's other investments.
I should start investing now in other things,
that's
right?
It,
don't just
it.
Rely on Social Security.
This lottery thing's not looking good for you.
No, it's not a good retirement strategy.
But Fay will obviously chat with you.
That's great. Yeah. I'm glad to know there's an expert out there to help me. One question I would like to know, I'm a veteran. So do I get time and credit and service for my military service for Social Security?
Oh, absolutely. So, because basically you're getting earned income, that absolutely vests you in there and all of that. So 100%.
Good. That's good to know as, there's many veterans out there. And then what about if you begin to draw on some of the Social Security disability prior to your, does that count against your full retirement?
No, and actually, I just sat down with a couple earlier this week. What happens is that you get your Social Security disability at your full retirement age. It just flips over to retirement, Social Security retirement. And the big differential for folks is with the Social Security disability is that you have to still supply some doctor's information and you have to continue to qualify at that full retirement age. All those qualifications go away. Oh, and I do want to say, and I think this is really important because this has come up, for people that do delay past age 65 and taking their Social Security, Medicare does not automatically happen. So if for these folks that do want to delay to age 70, you still have to apply for Medicare, at least Part A, at age 65. If you do not, and let's say you elect to take it 2, 3, 4 years later, what Social Security Medicare does is they have a penalty on top of that that's permanent for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So you can opt out of Part B. So, you know, it's the alphabet soup, and this is like a whole nother conversation. And
Part two of the show.
Part two of the show. But I think, you know, just if you're delaying, you still want to opt into that Part A. And if you've got like a work retirement program with like Coke or Turner, you can show that you have, a health insurance, you can delay Part B. But that Part A is, that's a hard deadline.
Mm-hmm. And are there any extra steps or things someone should be aware of if they're a couple and they're a same-sex couple when it comes to Social Security benefits?
That is a great question. And, you know, their Social Security has just updated some information on their website with the legalization of gay marriage. And they have said on their website, when I've talked to them, there is even circumstances. So let's say that you were legally married for 10 years to your LGBT spouse, and maybe you were widowed 5 years ago, you still might be able to get grandfathered in because the laws have changed now. Mm. So with those couples, and we do work with a lot of LGBT couples, I'm not saying it's a 100% yes, but the thing is that it would definitely behoove folks to check into that, especially if they were legally married and, you know, they were married for the 10 years mm-hmm. or they're widowed or whatever. Or if it was even common law and that state did not recognize it, but they do now, there could be some provisions for Social Security. So I'm really excited to see how that shakes out.
And a lot of that comes back to the states and what's, legal in those particular states and how that plays into the federal law and everything too.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, it actually has to do because, it was legal in certain states to get married. So maybe they went to Connecticut or some other state to get married, but live in Georgia. Well, that's okay. You're still legally married. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to that. So once again, there are opportunities in there. And once again, they'll still follow into, even as Georgia has approved, still the 10 years, you live for 10 years, mm-hmm. you're married for 10 years,
yeah.
that kind of thing.
And once again, just proves you got to call an expert. You can't figure it out yourself. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So much to think about for sure and kind of tying it all together. And so where do you go, Faye, to stay up to date on what's trending, what's new, what's coming down the new line of laws here?
I do talk to the Social Security Administration quite a bit. Having my NSSA designation, I'm in a group with other Social Security advisor planners nationally, and we get up to date. And there's a really great group called Social Security Works, which is the lobbyist group in D.C. that is trying to do what I'm doing here today. And Lori is basically just educating people that Social Security does work. And I do want to add that FICA, your little paycheck, it's a federal insurance program. This is not an entitlement program. This is actually a federal insurance program. So you've paid into that over the years.
It's based on eligibility, obviously, if you've been a high earner in the six-figure range for the last, 20 years or 35 quarters, as Faye has pointed out, your benefit's going to be higher than if you only make $14,000 a year and work part-time mm-hmm. because it is insurance you have paid in. So once again, it just like Faye said, it's not entitlement, but if you are entitled to benefits you have already contributed to, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. You need to find out. And once again, it's still based on, the widow's benefits and the things that were going on in the 40s that sometimes we just don't think about, because what happened is 32-year-old women with four children are now a widow because their husband got killed in a war. Okay, we still have that happen now, but it happened much more frequently when the Social Security laws were enacted.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly.
And as we begin to close the show here today, are there other partners in industry like Laurie here and other CPAs that you find referrals from, maybe estate planners or other industries that send business your way?
I actually honestly get a ton of referrals from other financial planners. So, since I have such a niche market and, I can't service every single person in the United States, but I love doing just that piece for a lot of folks. But I love getting referrals from other financial planners. CPAs, estate and business planning attorneys. Those are all really great referral sources, just, or, you know, anybody in general that works with seniors and they want to make sure that they have a secure financial future and that they make the best decisions for their families.
And do you only work with people here in Atlanta or from all over?
I work with people, and I'm rolling out a national website here in the next couple months, but our plan is to work with not only everybody throughout the U.S., but our expats that may have, I've worked with people that are U.S. citizens that live in the Philippines and mm-hmm. different countries that haven't paid into our Social Security system for a certain amount of years, and they need to navigate how to make all that work.
Yeah, so, I hope to retire to Costa Rica one day myself, so I may need your services then as well. So, and so tell our listeners how they can find out more information about you, your company, and where they can connect with you.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, our company is Social Security Benefit Planners. We do have a Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter where we're updating great information. Our website is Social Security BP, short for benefitplanners.com. Mm-hmm. And you can reach me at info@socialsecuritybp.com. And, you know, I can answer some basic questions. And if somebody wants a nice customized plan, you know, we can go through our options as far as that.
And we'll have those links posted up later today on our website, atlantabusinessradio.com. And so one more question. I know you're always head first into the Social Security. I bet you have stacks of books about Social Security next to your bedside at night. But when you want to get away from it all, when you want to take your mind off Social Security, what do you like to do when you're off time?
Travel and nap.
Okay. Travel and nap. So sleep on the way to your next destination, enjoy that spot, and then take a nap on the way back. So you can find Faye out there traveling the highways and byways of America or working hard to solve your Social Security needs and issues as well. So thank you so much, Faye, for joining us here today. Please come back and be a guest.
Great. Thank you.
All right. And for you, Lori, you know, how can folks find you or get in touch with you about your services as a CPA?
Well, thank you. Once again, I'm Lori Attaway. I'm a partner at Attaway Linville, and we are at attawaylinville.com. So they will also have a link on the site. We are literally right next door to Faye. We share a wall. We actually...
Yeah, I see you're both on Peachtree Street.
Absolutely.
Downtown there, right?
Absolutely. We're right by the Amtrak station, so we can come from anywhere in the world, really, because mm-hmm. we can just pick you up at the train station.
Okay.
Or you can literally just walk across.
And you can visit with both of the ladies there on the same visit.
Absolutely. And that is actually one of the things we do work well together with. Faye and I are both... I mean, we're cut to the chase. We got to get you to the next level. I mean, let's find out what pieces. We got a huge toolbox. Which three tools do you need to get you to the next level? And, you know, taxes and Social Security and taxes and financial planning go hand in hand. You know, just today, I was doing a tax return for a wonderful retired couple, a very nice pension from a great broadcasting company. And he has a trainload of non-taxable income from his financial planner. Great, except he got hit with $23,000 worth of alternative minimum tax. But yet he paid his financial planner because his financial planner didn't bother to call me in November where we could say, whoa, let's readjust a little bit before the end of the year. So the tax-free income didn't really help him on his taxes. Mm-hmm. And that's the great thing about, you know, your CPA and your financial planner. Faye and I work great together. We both have great teams. We, you know, we talk about people. I mean, even Faye did my stuff and she was like, this is great. What's this trash you invested in? You know, and that kind of stuff. And that's fine. It's an evolution. Yeah. No one is right all the time. There is no cookie cutter. And so what, just like Faye says, what works for you on Social Security in this situation may not work there. Mm-hmm. And then there are different financial products we want to put with that to get you where you need to get, because it's all about the cash flow, both taxes and financial planning and Social Security and all this.
And every situation is different. There's millions of combinations, it sounds like, which can be applied to you and your unique situation. And so, until you're down there, you got a website or a phone number, email that people can contact you with?
Absolutely. Attaway Linville, attawaylinville.com. Laurie, Laurie, at Attaway Linville, or info@attawaylinville. Mm-hmm. Or actually, we can give us a call at 404-607-8400. And honestly, if you call either one of us and we need the help of the other, we literally bang on the wall.
Yeah.
and say, come over here.
Bang on the wall, burning up the carpets in between the offices.
That's us.
And so if you're not at your office or you're not conspiring over there with Faye, what do you like to do in and around Atlanta in your off time?
Well, I'm actually a native. I grew up here and I'm still here. There's seven of us that actually grew up here that are still in the same zip code. And so the seven of us get together a lot.
Nice.
But I have a very active child and run around doing all kinds of things with her and just like having a good time.
Good deal. Because we all need that off time. We need to unwind and kind of recenter and refocus so we can go out there and do good work for our clients and our community. And both you ladies are doing awesome work for all these folks out there from many different backgrounds and such. So thank you so much, both of you, for joining us here today. And thank you, Bonnie, for another exciting episode of Atlanta's Most Trusted Advisors.
Thank you, Ryan. It's been fun.
Yeah, I think our listeners really got some good information here today, some actionable intelligence that they can go out there and utilize to apply. And first and foremost, they just need to call somebody if they don't know the answers. And these ladies know the answers.
And there are no stupid questions.
No.
No one should feel intimidated, but they don't understand this because there's just only a handful of people that have a full understanding of this anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah. Thank you guys for coming today.
All right. And thank you, Bonnie, again, for making all this happen. And thank you, listeners and audience, for joining us. If your company is out there doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the website and pitch us your story at businessradiox.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.